Unbelievable. Mr. Kim, guy with the girly name, met with Donald J. Trump, and I will unleash fire and fury such as the world has never seen.
Mr. President!
You faggy little guy in the front row.
When you say fire and fury like the world has never seen, do you mean worse than Hiroshima?
Fake news, gotcha question. I know Hiroshima. I know that one. It's where we dropped the bomb in Germany. I got it. Nobody negotiates like Donald J. Trump. We're gonna win. Bigly.
Mr. President!
Miss Legs. Okay.
Is the fallout going to be worse than Chernobyl?
Chernobyl, right. Why isn't Robert J. Mueller investigating Hillary Clinton's role in the Chernobyl thing? That's right. Okay, fake news. That's why you have to get your news from the Trump News Network, available at all the Trump hotels and the White House website. If it doesn't work out, come stay at a Trump nuclear bunker at any Trump hotel. But not if you're a Muslim. You can't stay if you're a Muslim.
Mr. President!
Yes, Kim. Donald J. Trump. Yeah. I forget. Are you the good Korea or the bad Korea? Yeah, the North. That's not helping. Yeah, Marxist. I'm pretty sure that's the bad Korea. Yeah, listen. I know I said some things. I'm a joker. People don't know Donald J. Trump. Great sense of humor. Yeah. Listen. I need to win one. Okay. Really. I really need a win. I could use some help from a brother. A player doing a favor for another player. Yeah. Okay, now listen. I can get you a discount at Mar-a-Lago. I have some pull in Russia. Oh, why couldn't you be more like Vladimir? Did I mention the discount?
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio. As always, thank you for joining us. On today's show, we're going to do the news, lots and lots of news to report, and we're going to be discussing an email I received by someone presenting an argument a little bit more to the right of where this show tends to be, and I'm going to discuss this email at length, read through it, and talk about some of the mistakes that people make. We'll use look a little inward at the show that we have, but also I get asked by people all the time, how do I argue with people who are arguing from the right, and I know they're wrong, but I don't really know exactly where the mistakes are. And we'll go over this and how to look for some of the reasoning fallacies that we discussed a few weeks ago and how they're utilized to present misleading arguments. All right, let's get right into it, starting with the news. We have to start off kind of on a sad and happy note at the same time. We have to say goodbye to our longtime contributor, one of our founding members, Nicholas Brell, who has moved on to undoubtedly bigger and better things. He will still be with our team, fortunately, but will be pulling away from his general duties to focus on things that, I don't know, might pay him. But at the same time, we would like to welcome new members of our team, Jacqueline Tejeda, Mariana Arias, and Ryan Rivera. Welcome to the team. They will be involved in our social media and our research and helping with all parts of the show. Welcome to the team, and I'm just noticing this, Rivera, Arias, Tejeda. Are we worried about getting sued by the Justice Department? Looks like we're going to have to go out and find some white people, I guess, to avoid getting sued by the Justice Department. Imagine that. Anyway, into the news. Our great and glorious leader is on working vacation. What does that mean? Well, some of us are very excited, I guess, about the possibility that Donald Trump may be working. Because apparently his normal status is of non-working working, I guess. This from the man who said that he would not take a vacation in the White House. There was too much to do. Who criticized Barack Obama for the vacations he took and, believe it or not, for having gone golfing. Oh, I know, talking about Donald Trump as a hypocrite is really old news at this point. Still, it's almost a little entertaining each time he does it. Well, he's on vacation, which might also be somewhat hopeful for many of us, but that hope was dashed very quickly by our glorious leader on vacation. Before we get into his rants about Korea, I have to ask one thing. Trump's vacations. Does he still get his propaganda document, do you think? Twice a day? In case you missed this news, our fearless leader, the man who will be leading us into the future, the President of the United States, the so-called leader of the free world, actually has his staff preparing for him twice a day and delivering to him a document, shorthand being known as the propaganda document, which tells Donald Trump how great he is, how popular he is, and how wonderful he's doing. This little man-child needs to have smoke blown up his ass twice a day so he can get on with the process of tweeting something stupid to get the United States perhaps into a nuclear war. Ah, Korea. Trump on North Korea. Fire and fury like the world has never seen. Something we haven't seen from prior presidents, who tend to show a little discretion, a little ability to negotiate. Now, the Trump cleanup team has come out after the fact, and by Trump cleanup team, I mean, of course, it's become apparent at this point that he has a whole staff dedicated to following him around and cleaning up after his mouth shits. Every time he shits something stupid, they have to come clean it up and tell everybody how wonderful it smells. And they're at work hard on this one. Well, Donald Trump is a great negotiator. This is a negotiating tactic. You threaten to nuclear annihilate somebody to get them to negotiating table. You know, under other circumstances, we might be more willing to give the President of the United States the benefit of the doubt. Except just 6 months into his presidency, it is clear that nothing he says or does is thought out. Nothing is planned. Nothing is considered. And this is the concern. We have expressed this concern from the very beginning of the Trump presidency. It's comical what a jackass and what a child he is. But what happens when a real crisis emerges, when we actually need a president of the United States, like we maybe needed one, saying the same thing about the Boy George presidency after 9/11. And he basically went and hid under Dick Cheney's desks. Well, this was exactly the scenario we proposed. What if some crisis happens with North Korea? Well, what are we left with now? The president is obviously such a juvenile jackass that we're actually hoping that the leaders in the Trump administration, particularly his new chief of staff, the generals, will manage to fix things up. You know, John Kelly, the new chief of staff, who recently described the White House as one of the most dysfunctional organizations he had ever seen. And we're all collectively saying, please, please, fix this. Where there was a concern about how much military influence was in this administration, now we are actually counting on that military influence to be the voice of reason and to ratchet things down, because the boy king has once again said something incredibly stupid. While Bush is on his 17-day so-called working vacation, I guess tweeting vacation.
Trump, not Bush.
Trump, did I say? Okay, flashback. While Trump is on his 17-day, thanks for correcting that, 17-day vacation, working vacation, the White House is being upgraded. Let's hope that what they're doing is they are building a cage in the basement that doesn't have access to wireless. And they're planning on putting our commander-in-chief in there once he gets back. And then all those unelected people can hopefully run the country in a better way. Okay, you thought we forgot about Russia. We haven't forgotten about Russia. Russia's still up there in the news. As we were going to press, so to speak, last week, the president was busy signing the sanctions bill passed by Congress as a thumb in the eye of the president because he's not trusted to deal with Russia. Trump did sign the bill. We're happy to report. He signed it using a signing statement, saying that he believed that much of the bill was unconstitutional. Now, understand what a signing statement is. Many of you may be unfamiliar with this. Is you sign a bill, and at the same time, you basically say, okay, but I had my fingers crossed. This was something that all presidents have used to some extent, when in fact, there is a legitimate concern from the executive branch that some of the bill may be unconstitutional, as is being asserted right now by the White House. This was taken to new heights by the Boy George administration, which used signing statements in lieu of vetoes. In fact, issued more signing statements to bills than all presidents previously had combined. In fact, I think you can add Obama to the list. He used some of them, but very rarely. I think Bush still used more of them than all presidents other than Bush combined. Well, basically said, I'm not going to veto a bill. In fact, the Bush administration said, hey, this is great. He hasn't had to veto a bill through most of his administration. No, he just basically said all these signing statements that said, okay, the bill's being signed into law, but we're not going to enforce it. And that is the concern here. Could there be constitutional concerns about the bill? Sure. Does anybody really think that that's what the Trump administration is about here with their signing statements? The Trump administration is signaling that they're going to not enforce the bill to the extent that they can. The Republican Congress did this historic and blatant rebuke to the president in passing this bill. The question is now, have they done their job? Can they go back to their constituents and say, look what I did? And now, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of actually making sure that Trump is enforcing the sanctions bill as they wrote it, will the Republicans step up to the plate? We've seen with health care and others, the Republicans are big on talking a big game where they can go back to their constituents and say, look what I'm all about. But when push comes to shove and their leadership says, listen, you be a bitch and you get on board, that's what they pretty much all do. So keep paying attention to this one to find out if this big sanctions bill that was passed almost unanimously in Congress is actually going to do what it says it's going to do. Also, in the past week, Russia announced that it was expelling more than 755 U.S. embassy personnel in retaliation for the fact that there were some slight punishments on Vladimir Putin's overseas slush fund accounts in retaliation for impacting a U.S. presidential election. Tit for tat, he's going to show that he's angry with us. So he's going to expel 755 U.S. diplomats because the United States is concerned about his role in undermining a U.S. election. The Trump administration finally has had enough and said, we are going to do something about this, and we are lashing out at Russia. No, I'm just kidding, of course. The Trump administration has done absolutely nothing. Once again, this is the guy who's going to put America first and make America great again. Sounds a little bit more like Vladimir Putin's puppy dog in the White House. Oh, more good news during the week. Trump's plan to reduce legal immigration by 50% and favor the wealthy and English speakers because they're better for America. Once again, it would be interesting to look at this and say, well, there are some interesting conversations to be had about how we do immigration. The idea that Americans are getting hurt by all this legal immigration even is something to be considered. Except you know that this isn't being considered by the White House. This wasn't a considered policy considering the fact. In fact, the facts that are coming out is that their grounds for this policy are factually false. That in fact, immigration tends to generally help low-wage workers and increase the number of jobs, increase economic output in America. So let's have this conversation about what we should do about immigration. But like most things, let's have it honestly. And like all things, sorry, that's going to exclude the Trump administration. Scientists repair, really non-political science news. Scientists repaired a risky mutation in a human embryo through gene splicing. We are getting to real science fiction stuff here. Scientists can change embryos in the womb to remove diseases, other types of defects, perhaps. Although that probably is a word I shouldn't be using. And once again, this is a really fraught issue that adults need to be discussing. If only we had some adults around to discuss what we should do. We don't need government, those who are all against government action. Do you think there should be laws governing our use of gene splicing to affect unborn babies? Who else do you think is going to do that? Government needs to. It would be nice to have scientists running federal agencies and the government, or at least people who believed in science, so we could be making good decisions on this one. We'll probably talk about this more later. Finish the news. Draft report from scientists from 13 federal agencies says that the United States is experiencing the effects of climate change. It's experiencing those effects now. They are caused by man, carbon dioxide emissions. In other words, what scientists around the world have been basically unanimously telling us for many, many years. This draft report was leaked by scientists at U.S. government federal agencies to the New York Times. Why was it leaked? It was leaked because all these people, all these scientists at these agencies trust our government so much that they figure that if the draft is not leaked, there is no question the Trump administration and its agency heads would be burying this report. In other words, scientists in our own government are sneaking around the President of the United States while he's busy trying to squat them out with his thumb and squish them. They're running around trying to do whatever they can before he can undo everything. This draft report now goes to agency heads, including the head of the EPA, who doesn't believe in climate change, who's outspoken about not believing in climate change. What's going to happen to this report? And then it goes to the President of the United States, who is the New York Times. It's every now and then you get a headline, you just have to look at this two or three times. President has a choice between his base and science. Okay, there's more news to talk about, but I want to get into this email, and that's a perfect segue into this email. As I go over this email, I want to point out, it's really important. This is from a former student of mine who had taken me for two classes. Actually, a young man I like very much. He's a very smart young man, a good young man, a decent young man, a good human being. And that's important because when I go over the email and some of what I believe are the mistakes made and some of what is indicative of the way the right wing works to spread its message, it's important to keep in mind that this is a very intelligent, thoughtful, decent human being. I don't mean to be picking on him. I mean to be alerting you to how things work and how you basically can look for ways that you are being misled. I had sent an email to him and some other people with links to the show saying, please take a look at the show if you're interested and let me know what you think. And he was nice enough to watch the show and get back to me and share with me some of his comments. And again, I'm going to be very not nice, I guess, in going over and criticizing some of those comments. I mean no personal offense, and I think it's important to do. All right, here's what he some of what he writes. We had an exchange going for several emails. Here's his first emails. Many of the most popular shows I've seen targeting a younger generation clearly present their personal approach while attempting to objectively frame both sides. Plays devil's advocate with the side he doesn't agree with. And let me just say right off that I actually think that there's a lot of merit to that to a large extent. And pretty soon we're going to be changing somewhat the format of this show as we are preparing a new studio, and we hope to be able to bring on more people because we do believe that reasoned debate does help frame issues, elaborate on issues. I try to be fair, I try to be thoughtful, but there's no question I'm presenting my opinion, and I think if I have people, even to the extent that they agree with me, to the extent that you have people weighing in different ways, I think it does help to elaborate on the issue. But I want to go back to the idea of both sides. What we have there is something we talked about in our Reasoning Fallacies episode, a blatant oversimplification. Are there really two sides? Are issues in America that simple that there are two sides? Aren't things a little more complicated than that? Unless we're talking about who we want to win the Super Bowl, and even then, only if we already know who's in the Super Bowl. Issues are not just A or B. They are very complicated. I think that, is this just a minor quibble with language? No, I actually think this is really important. The concept of both sides and both sides needing to be heard. There's a couple of things that happen here. First of all, both sides. Anyone who tells you that they are presenting both sides fairly, you should be really concerned about something else that we talked about in a Reasoning Fallacy episode, something called extension error, which is when somebody tells you what the other side is arguing, or what they deem the other side, you need to be really concerned that they are not presenting it in the most favorable light. Most of the time that I see people telling me what I've said, I say, well, that's actually not quite what I said. And you've simplified it to an extent that I realize that what you just said bothers me as well. That's why I know that I wouldn't have said it. Okay? What framing things as both sides does, of course, is give people an incentive to be more extremist. What is both sides? Are we talking, let's say, me and Donald Trump? Is that both sides? Well, to be fair, Donald Trump is an extremist who doesn't believe in facts, science, or reason. We're going to equate that with someone who, and I know if you're on the right, you like to believe that I'm extremist on the left, but I'm nowhere near the left extreme. I consider myself reasonably far to the left, and on some issues, maybe further than that. I do consider myself a socialist, which does not make me an extremist. I'm not a communist. So if I'm going to have someone representing the Trump side, maybe I need somebody, not me, actually representing the far left. This is something the right has done for years. You take a moderate leftist and an extreme rightist, and you say, well, the answer may be somewhere in the middle. And all this does is give more incentive for the right to go further and further to the right, and thus move the center further and further to the right, so that we are left with, and with all due respect, we are left with a crazy side right now. And yes, I believe that people who do not believe in science, facts, reason, the truth, who support alternative facts, this is extremist and should not be part of the conversation. If there really are two sides, does that mean that longtime conservative stalwarts and Republicans like David Brooks, Ross Duttat, Bret Stephens, William Kristol, Norman Ornstein, David Frum, the list goes on and on, these people are all now on my side? It's everybody of reason against the other side? It's not two sides. And in fact, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, I'm going to move this along. Later on, he's going to talk about how we've become more extreme. Well, we've become more extreme, at least one side has, if you keep saying, I deserve to be at the table no matter how right I am, and I'm one side, and they're the other side, and both sides deserve credit. Anyway, continue with the email. They do this by having guests of different perspectives. Again, different perspectives is fine. They provide the rationale behind other viewpoints with their own words, especially on hot-button topics, and don't paint people via ad hominem and attributing motive.
etc. The country is more divided along party lines than ever. If we break this country down into two sides, left versus right, left versus extreme right, that's dividing the country along party lines. Having reasonable people on, regardless of party, who are willing to apply facts and reason to a discussion, that breaks down party lines. That seems to be the opposite of what you called for in your first sentence. I think the rhetoric needs to shift to understanding positivity, etc., and open room for different opinions to live in the light. So the argument is that Forward Nation Radio is monopolizing the airwaves? The right, the Trump segment of America, doesn't have a chance to get its side out? You understand that Forward Nation Radio exists because the right, corporations, big money, Fox News, Sinclair Broadcasting, One America News, which also declares itself as moderate and middle of the road, but isn't, because of the way they manage to frame issues to take one side over another. The rise of fake objectivity, Fox, One America News, all these that I've discussed. Straight news, no opinion. That's One America News' motto. But the news that they choose to cover was governed by opinion. Okay? I think if you can apply that approach to the show, it will be something not only someone like myself, a moderate with a right-leaning tint on certain issues, would watch, but possibly even right-wing people would. We're going to come back to the use of the word moderate, which is a glittering generality, one of the first of several we see. How many people do you know define themselves as something other than a moderate or reasonable person? By defining yourself as moderate, defining the other side as the extremist, you've won the argument without even opening up your mouth. Okay? My response to that email was along the lines of what I've been discussing about that. When one party becomes opposed to facts, reason, as the Norman Ornstein quote and several other quotes that I've read, David Brooks recently, from right-wing Republicans, or from Republicans rather, not right-wing Republicans, people to the right. When one party has been opposed to facts, reason, etc., I don't have to invite them to the table. How can you treat it fairly, I asked. And why would, I should have added, one, treat it fairly. Now, I added provocatively, as a Jewish man, speaking of both sides, do I need to invite Nazis on my show? That would be the other side. I personally believe that Nazis should not be given a platform. There needs to be a certain amount of credibility before they get that platform. And I wrote provocatively, if not, I have ruled out a very substantial number of Trump and Republican supporters. Let's hope that when I use the word Nazis, it's not so substantial. But substantial enough. This really is a conundrum, I wrote. The Republicans count on their extremism to allow them to intimidate everyone else. You say you are a moderate who often leans right. On what issues do you think the current Republican Party represents your beliefs? Here's his response. I'm not sure where you're getting your sources, but listening to both sides of the spectrum for the past 10 years, apparently as opposed to me, there are certainly strong arguments on either side. Well, I've asked you to identify an issue that you agree with. This is equivocation. Your response is, all both sides have good ideas, without in any way, shape, or form answering the question. You also have another false equivalence here. There are strong arguments on either side. There may be, but that doesn't mean that both sides has the same number of strong arguments or generally the same strength to their arguments. John Oliver, many months back, I think most humorously and also thoughtfully represented this issue by saying, okay, you need to hear both sides. We're always hearing both sides of the climate change debate. But he said, but wait a minute, something like 98% of scientists, it's at least that, at least with published research, believe in man-made climate change. So if you want to represent both sides, having one person on each side isn't fair. That completely misrepresents the argument. And so he invited 98 scientists who believed in man-made climate change onto his stage, and two climate change deniers. This was fair. Having one of each on, when it's discredited, isn't fair. When Donald Trump's approval ratings are in the toilet, having one person represent the extreme side and one side represent everybody else is not fair, and it's not equivalent. It is a false equivalent. To frame only one side is insane. Sorry, I got my back up a little bit on this one, because now not only am I an extremist, not only do I not get news from both sides, but I'm actually insane. To frame only one side is insane, and lies and distorts, undermines civilized societal discourse. No, in fact, that is the way things are presented. You are welcome to look at other news sites. We would never ask people to only get their news from Forward Nation Radio. Go to other places, get your news. This is why Forward Nation Radio exists, so there are more voices for the side that is underrepresented in our media. Both ends of the spectrum do this in my experience, why I consider myself middle of the road for the most part. In a couple of short emails, he has defined himself, by the way, as moderate or middle of the road, I believe it's 5 times, referring to me as extremist at least once. Hence, argument is concluded. This is especially true in education, as it makes it difficult for a younger audience to decide what they think until they hear both sides, or at least someone tell you what both sides are. Once again, corporations dominate every aspect of media. Donald Trump and his ilk could tell you about the liberal media. But if you think the largest corporations on the planet are promoting liberal policies, frankly, you're watching too much Fox News. There need to be more voices on the left, because it is the right that is overwhelmingly heard in this country. Even the media that tries to be honest is overwhelmingly corporate-owned, and that's before I once again get back to Fox News, Breitbart, Sinclair, and all the other places that are increasing their media reach and that flat-out lie when they open their mouths. This is why facts matter. This is a real free speech issue. The issue of education is an important one. And you raise an important point here. How do you deal with education? Students should get both sides, or different sides, or nuanced perspective. Does that include people who are full of shit? Should we invite people who are outright liars to speak to students? I'd like to think that at some point people have the wisdom, as per our free speech arguments, to understand the difference between an argument that makes sense and an argument that's bullshit. Unfortunately, my experience teaches me otherwise, that most students I deal with, as bright as they are, have not been very well informed, have not been asked to be very well informed, and can't tell the difference between reasoned argument based on fact and typical right-wing, racist, bigoted dog whistles, which is also being espoused by many of their college professors. And I have a real concern about that. I'm all for free speech, but we've gotten to a point in America, as I spoke at length on a prior show, that allowing people to lie all the time is not fair. The antidote to Fox News is not Forward Nation Radio. It's shutting down Fox News and people who lie all the time, or at least not listening to them. I'm shocked you would lump large numbers of Trump or Republican supporters together as intellectually incoherent and Nazis. Okay, intellectually incoherent to vote for Donald Trump for president? Sorry, not backing off of this one. You have to be intellectually incoherent to make these jackasses president of the United States. Nazis, I hope I've overstated it. I've talked before about the fact that on November 9th, morning of November 9th, American Nazis and other right-wing white supremacists, the KKK, were ascendant and the happiest people on the planet. I hope I'm overstating the number of Nazis in America, but you know what? It's scary enough that they are emboldened, and they are emboldened. One of them referred to Trump as a gateway drug to white nationalism. The far right has risen to new prominence this year. They are increasing the number of people they're running for local political offices and their ties to European fascist parties. With all due respect, I hope the number is small, but it's not small enough, and it's small enough that we should be worried about it getting bigger. I don't know if I should be emboldened or really discouraged by the fact that someone of the Jewish persuasion who grew up like me saying never again, can look at the rise of whatever it is, whatever small, I hope, segment of white supremacy and neo-Nazism we have growing in this country and think, oh, get over it. No, I'm not going to get over it. I'm sure you're aware that millions of Trump voters were Obama voters in 2012. Okay, that may be true. I don't really know what it means. Were they intellectually incoherent or white supremacists then? No, they weren't. They may have been intellectually incoherent, but they made the right choice. I don't argue that everybody votes on the right side votes smart. There are plenty of people who vote on the right side, correct side, who are voting for the wrong reasons and uninformed. The one big mistake that the right always makes, this is all my friends on the right, is to mistake the left for the right. We've talked before about how the right is basically follows a cult of personality. When you lack ideas and reason and facts, you tend to follow cults. Trump, Reagan, etc. We on the left, I understand that Jon Stewart was sometimes wrong. Because I don't believe what I believe because Jon Stewart believes it. Or even Barack Obama, or even Bernie Sanders. I agree with them because most of the time I agree with them. And when I don't agree with them, I don't agree with them. But it's true, there are people voting incoherently on the right side, the left side, correct side as well. I think there is room to discuss facts and reasons to arguments, but when, and this is where he really starts to go off the rail, with all due respect. I think there is room to discuss the facts and reason through arguments, but when the conservative side is vilified with language like hate poor people, when many poor people vote Republican. Okay, so I guess, let's say the Palestinians are not anti-Semites at all because many Jews agree with the Palestinian cause, right? Some Jews, I'm sure, voted for Hitler, so Hitler can't be an anti-Semite. Just because poor people may have voted Republican doesn't mean they were right to vote in their own economic interests. They also could have other interests that they're voting for, even if they do understand how Republicans are against their economic interests. But anyway, take the word hate out. And what's wrong with that sentence? Have you been following this administration for 6 months? What policies have they seemed to be advancing that benefit poor people? Yes, one distinction between the left and the right is that the left tries to promote the interests of poor people, and the right generally tries to promote the interests of wealthy people and white people. He also says they hate women. The left, the conservative side, is vilified with language like hate women when many married women embrace typical gender roles, don't want abortion on demand with their tax dollars, and place children over career track. Okay, sorry, but we're off the rails here. And one of the ways you can kind of get a sense of when somebody's really floundering is look to where their biases lie. If someone, in this case, I believe, is an Orthodox religious person and is thoughtful and open-minded and probably progressive on a lot of issues, but many in his community do promote sexist and perhaps misogynist roles towards women, this is the kind of bullshit you have to twist yourself into pretzels saying. Apparently, by Democrats supporting women's rights, that's a bad thing. By the way, abortion on demand with their tax dollars, yeah, that's coming from somewhere on Fox News, moderate person. We have something called the Hyde Amendment for 40 years in this country that prevents federal tax dollars being used for abortions, except in cases of rape or incest. That's why, like most things, it's a little bit more complicated than boilerplate. Liberals say that Republicans hate immigrants. Dislike, but don't take the law into their own hands against illegal aliens who violate the law and hurt both the poor citizens and actual legal immigrants financially and sometimes even physically. See MS-13 gangs, for example. Well, here's a red herring. We want to have a debate about immigration and whether we are promoting racist policies in the way we do immigration? No, it's just about Democrats being soft on crime. That's what this is. Democrats want criminals kept in this country. Let's be clear that even under Obama, undocumented immigrants who committed crimes were sent out of the country. That's bullshit. It leads to a caricature no different than, false equivalents, when the right extreme paint liberals as insane adult children who despise America. This is now the equivalent of Democrats saying that Republicans' policies don't benefit poor people, we counter with, well, the right may go overboard when they say that liberals are insane adult children who despise America, bearing in mind that you've already referred to me as insane, when they live and stand for the same flag, etc., want all wealth redistributed, and hate white people. So this is now how we make equivalent actual arguments based on reality and Republican policies with bumper stickers, hate America, hate white people. And so we are equating thoughtful arguments based on facts with bumper stickers from Fox News. I despise both established party false equivalents. They have failed at their primary role, etc. They've overreached into areas like health insurance and marriage. Marriage, by the way, is government. That's what marriage is. It is government recognizing your contract. So I understand we got a problem with gay people here, and we're phrasing it in a nice way. But government, marriage is government. And really, let's paint this what it is. Not government overreach into marriage, but government overreach into bigotry or not bigotry. Should government marriage rules be bigoted or shouldn't they be bigoted? Let's just change the way we frame the issue. And government involving itself in health insurance? You mean like, keep your government hands off my Medicare? I try one more time, by the way, my response to this email. I talk about his false equivalents, etc. I say there are 24 politicians in the Democratic Party I think are outstanding human beings who are trying really hard to help the people of this country. How many Republicans can you say that about? Once again, no response. Equivocation. It's not my job to defend Republicans or Democrats. With all due respect, what is this entire email exchange been but you defending Republicans? Or the other side, so to speak. Now he talks about ignoring reality. He talks about blind. I like this. Okay, you shouldn't be blindly. Moderates like myself are tiring of blind partisanship. With all due respect, I get this a lot. I'm a college professor. I do this for a living. I read more stuff about how this country is operating and political system and policy. I read more in a month than I'm willing to bet you read in a year. And you can just dismiss me as blind. So just dismiss. There's no knowledge doesn't matter. Expertise doesn't matter. I've got an opinion I've pulled out of my ass. There's no reason that that opinion is not as well thought out and as worthy of airing as an opinion that you have by getting yourself informed and thoughtful. Expertise doesn't matter. So now I am extreme and I am blind. He also talks about how both sides get the word out. I talked about money in the lobbying game. Everyone has a stake in the lobbying game. Everyone does have a stake in the lobbying game, just like both the Christians and the Lions had a stake in their game. That doesn't mean it's the same stake. And once again, we are false equivalent. The money flowing in is from the entire spectrum of political and economic point of views. So we acknowledge all the money that corrupts our politics, but when I say that the money corrupting our politics is pulling both sides to the right, his response is, no, it's not. It's making both sides extreme. There's money on both sides. The rich people are spending money. The poor people are spending money. I leave it up to you, faithful listener, to decide. Do you think that when money is necessary to get your viewpoint out, that money is necessary to lobby the federal government and state governments to get them to bend to your will? Do you really think that both sides are evenly matched? Yes, both sides have a stake in the game. One side is the Christians. The other side is the Lions. Thanks for listening to our long show today. We'll be back next week. Like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please tell your friends and help spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. Have a nice week. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.